Amen. Thank you, brother, very much for that message and song. May the Lord again bless this word and song to all our hearts. And once again, it's a joy to be back with you to have the opportunity to preach again the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the fellowship with you here in the gospel mission in Italy. Now, if you have your Bible with you tonight, will you turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs and to Proverbs chapter 1. The book of Proverbs and chapter 1. We're going to read some verses and commencing our reading at verse 20. Book of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. The Bible says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Amen. May God bless to us the reading from his own inspired and his infallible word. And I want to think with you tonight in our gospel service about the call of the gospel. It's referred to here in Proverbs chapter 1 as wisdom's call. For it says in verse 20, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets." Most of the Proverbs were written by Solomon. Solomon was a wise king, the king unto whom God Almighty had given wisdom. Solomon knew many, many things about this world, and he had tasted of many of the things in this world. He knew all about wealth. He knew about the gift of wisdom that God had given to him. He had tasted of many of the pleasures of this world. And as a king, he was a man who had power and a man who had position and many, many things. But he writes in this book of Proverbs, and he says in verse 1 there, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding." And you notice that he says in verse 5, "A wise man will hear and will increase in learning." Because verse 7, and that's the key to this whole book, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. But there are many, many barriers to wisdom. And the Bible says here that the fools despise wisdom and they despise instruction. Now, when you read about wisdom in the book of Proverbs, we are in reality reading about what we might describe as the highest intellectual form of wisdom, the purest moral character of wisdom, all which are perfectly fulfilled in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 8, we have the wisdom personified. And there are some beautiful verses there. Doth not wisdom cry? Verse 4, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is unto the sons of men. And we are reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the great creator and the sustainer of all things. He says in verse 25, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. Verse 27, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass, his commandment when he appointed the foundations of the earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, as it is said in John's Gospel chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Lord Jesus says in verse 30, then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight and rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were the sons of men. In verse 35, for whoso findeth me, findeth life. Verse 36, but he that sinneth against me, wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me, love death. So we're getting a picture here, that if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, if we love him, if we are in fellowship with him, then we have life. But all that hate him, all that turn aside from him in their folly and in their sin, are lost without God, without Christ, and without hope. And the Bible says here in Proverbs 1 and 20, wisdom crieth without. This is the call of Christ in the gospel. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul over there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and in verse 30. It says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. So Paul says, Christ is our wisdom. God the Son, he is made unto us wisdom. And then you remember there in the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to young Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, now unto the King, that is God the Father, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. God the Son is made unto us wisdom. God the Father, he is the only wise God, the one who is the great King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. And Paul writes to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 17, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. So here God, in the Trinity of his sacred persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are described as wisdom. The only wise God, the Father, Christ has made unto us wisdom, and God wants to give us the Spirit of wisdom, the Holy Ghost, as we are saved. Now I want you to think with me, first of all, when we think about the call, or wisdom's call, or the gospel's call, I want you to notice the compassion of the call. For it says there in verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying. Here's the compassion of the call. That the call of the gospel, wisdom cries without. You see, if you or I were to see a house on fire, we would want to run and bang on the door, bang on the windows, call any man or woman or boy or girl inside to haste and make their escape and to get out of human compassion to save their life. Well, as far as the soul is concerned, the gospel call, wisdom cries without. And you'll notice that in these words here in Proverbs chapter 1, that to know wisdom and instruction is to perceive the words of understanding. There are many, many ways that wisdom calls. And there are many of us here tonight, and we thank God that we were born into a Christian home, that we were taught the way of salvation from our childhood. We can say like Timothy, as Paul wrote to Timothy, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make you wise unto salvation. And you'll notice there in verse 8 that the Bible says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. When we're young, oftentimes we don't want to listen to father's advice or to mother's advice. We think we know it all. We think we know the end from the beginning. We think we know what is best. But you'll notice here that the Bible says that in verse 11 or verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If sinners say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive, etc. Verse 14, if sinners should say, cast in thy lot among us, let us all of one purse. Here's the parents' advice. My son, walk not thy in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. And thank God for the teaching and the training, for the parental training and the parental guidance that was given to us, those of us who were brought up in a Christian home. And thank God even for many who were brought up maybe not in a Christian home, but in a good home, where parents sought the very best for their children, and as far as the ungodly and the wicked and the evil men and women of this world were concerned, they put a message clear and plain to their children. Keep away from them. Don't be walking with them. Don't be in their company. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Good advice. And sometimes that's the way the call of the gospel comes, in parental training. You know, if men and women, and especially young people, if they could see the end of sin, it would not appear as glamorous as it appears in this world and as it is presented in the world. The Bible says, lust, when it is finished, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. And constantly, People are bombarded with the advertising media. And for years, of course, they were encouraged to smoke this brand of cigarette or that other brand of cigarette. And you're not a real man, you're not a real woman. And all the adverts had the most handsome actors and actresses they could find. And this was the image that was portrayed. But nobody took them to a cancer ward. Some poor soul, after a lifetime of smoking the cigarettes, was dying of lung cancer. In the Hollywood cesspool and the movie industry, and movies were made about lifestyles that were so-called glamorous, but very promiscuous. And then people watch them, and they think that's the norm, and that's the way men and women ought to live, but they don't show you the divorce court. They don't show you the heartache. They don't show you the breakup. They don't show you the little children who always suffer. You see, sin will take you farther than you want to go, and sin will hold you longer than you want to stay, and sin will cost you far more than you want to pay, and all the world's pleasures will take a man or woman down that broad road that leads to a lost eternity. But wisdom, the gospel, cries without, and through the preaching of the gospel, and in the providences of God that come in your life, the gospel comes. You'll notice it says, her wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. And then she crieth in the chief place of concourse, at the opening of the gates, and in the city. And very simply, there you have a picture of society at large. Cries in the streets, where the populace are. Cries in the openings of the gates, that's the place where in Eastern times, that's the place where the elders of the city met. That's the place where many great transactions were made, where judgments were made, where courts were held. But my wisdom comes to the high, wisdom comes to the low. The call of the gospel is still the same today. For God so loved the world, the rich and the poor, Protestant, the Catholic, the Jew, the Gentile. Doesn't matter what kindred or tribe or nation or what color or culture men and women are. God so loved the world, and wisdom cries without and calls upon men and women. You notice too that wisdom cries to certain kinds of people in verse 22. How long, ye simple ones. Ye simple ones. And the picture there is of the weak. Those who are easily led. And the advice has already been given by Solomon. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, don't be going with them. If they say, cast in thy lot, keep well away from them. And wisdom cries out to the weak, to those who are easily led, to the simple. Wisdom cries out to the scorners who delight in their scorning. Here's the wayward. Here's those men and women who delight in their sin, who delight in the pleasures of sin, who even delight in their scorning of the truth. But God in grace and God in mercy still calls them in the gospel. There's hope for them. They will turn from their scorning and their mocking. I have the privilege of preaching Friday by Friday at the City Hall, and oftentimes there are those who mock, there are those who scorn, there are those who delight in their scorning. But the gospel is for them. And thank God they can be saved. And thank God for those who have been saved. They have heard a word, they have heard a verse of a song, they have heard a text of scripture, and it's smitten their heart and broken their heart. Caused them to think about life and death and eternity. And then the Bible says, how long, ye simple ones, the weak, Will you love simplicity? The scorners, the wayward, will you delight in the scorner? And fools hate knowledge. Oh, here's the worthless. Those who hate the knowledge, men who love darkness rather than light because their days are evil. The Bible reminds us, of course, that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But my, the gospel call goes out. And thank God it goes out with compassion. Here's the compassion of the call. Wisdom crieth without. And thank God Jesus gave those wonderful words to his disciples on the Great Commission. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He told them the very place where he was crucified, where he was laid in a tomb, and where he rose again from the dead. He says, beginning in Jerusalem. Even start in Jerusalem and preach to them the glorious gospel of Christ. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Thank God tonight for the compassion of the call of the gospel. Now I want you to notice in verse 23 the contents of this call. Here's the gospel summed up for us way back here in Proverbs chapter 1. And I remind you afresh again tonight, I was called to serve the Lord through verses in the prophecy of Ezekiel. God said to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, I have set thee as a watchman over the house of Israel. And one of the things Ezekiel had to do was to warn the wicked. And God says, Ezekiel, if you warn the wicked and they turn not from their wicked way, then he says, you shall be clear from the blood of the wicked men. But he says, if you don't warn them, then their blood will I require at your hands. It always comes home to me when I preach the gospel. I must preach the gospel. I must warn men and women. You notice here, there is the reproof of sin. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. When Paul reasoned with an intellectual and a judge many years ago, he reasoned with him and he talked about temperance and judgment to come and righteousness. And he reproved him for his sin. When John the Baptist, that so faithful of a child of God, when he came face to face with Herod, he pointed his finger at Herod and he warned Herod about his sin. He reproved him. Friend, that's what we're called to do. We're called to be watchmen. And we're called to warn men and women, to tell them that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. To tell them that if they're sinners, they're on the broad road that leads to a Christless hell, to a lost eternity. And we must reprove men and women from their sin. You'll notice there's not only reproof, but there's repentance. For it says, turn you at my reproof. Remember the words of the great General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. He said, alas, there would come a time in Great Britain when they would preach a gospel without repentance, when they would preach about heaven without a hell, when they would preach about salvation without repentance and without the precious blood. And alas, that day is upon us. And men and women want to hear today about the glories of heaven, but they don't want to hear about the horrors of hell. And people want to have Christ, and they want to have salvation, but at the same time, they want to hold on to their sin. But the Bible says, no, turn you at my reproof. When God reproves men and women for their sin, for their sinful lifestyle, for their sinful living, he commands them to repent of their sin, to turn from their sin, to change direction, to leave their sin. And then God says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. There's regeneration in the gospel. Jesus said to Nicodemus, that good that moral, that upright, that religious man, that ruler of Israel, that ruler of the Jews, that master in Israel. Jesus says, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Oh, Nicodemus, you've got religion. You've got position. You've got power, and you're a genuine seeker, and you've come to me under the shadow of darkness, and you've come inquiring about the way of salvation. Nicodemus, you must be born again, or be born from above. You were born into this world, you were born in sin, but you must be born again from above. You must have a rebirth. A regeneration. God says, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. And you notice then the last part of verse 23 says, I will make known my words unto you. There's the revelation by the Holy Scriptures. You see, there's a reproof of sin. That's what the gospel is all about. There's a repentance from sin. And there's regeneration by the Spirit of God. And it's all because of the revelation of the Holy Scriptures. I will make known my words unto you. Isn't that what Paul said to the Romans? In Romans chapter 10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And thank God tonight that the Word of God, it is quick, it is powerful, it's a living word, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And thank God tonight for the contents of the gospel and the call of Christ. By the preaching of the word, the preaching of the cross is to men and women who perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God, it is the wisdom of God. And thank God tonight for the simple preaching of the word. Men and women are perishing. As I said, I see them in the open air. Go along, point a finger at their head, point at you, preaching the word of God. And my, they think how big men they are. But they're perishing. They're perishing in their folly. They're perishing in their sin. They might come out in front of their friends with a few expletives and a few swear words. They might think that makes them big in the eyes of their company. But my, it only adds fuel to their condemnation. How foolish. Preaching. And it has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So the Bible speaks here in Proverbs 1 of the compassion of the call. We have thought a little about the contents of this call. I want you to notice the calamity of this call in verse 24. God says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. You see, here's the awful tragedy. Here's the calamity of the call of the gospel. God says in verse 28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. See, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 6 and verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. The old verse puts it like this, there is a line unseen by man. It crosses every path. It is a boundary between God's mercy and his wrath. And thank God that we're living in the day of grace. And thank God for this season of grace here in Ogilvie when the gospel is preached, not just on Sunday, but night after night in the gospel mission. But having said that, men and women hear the gospel, They know the gospel. God speaks to them once. God speaks twice, yea, three times. But friend, what guarantee have you that God will speak again? The great C.T. Studd, who was a missionary to China, then to Africa, and to India, and when he was no longer on the mission field, he went across the world gathering support and preaching and calling and challenging young men and women to give their lives to Christ and to serve the Lord. C.T. Studd said, "What right have I to hear the gospel twice when there are millions in this world who have never heard it once?" Here in Ulster, we have heard the gospel time and time and time and time again. But sad to say, men and women refuse the message and reject the message. But they could step over the deadline to be tonight. Sinner, the Savior is calling for thee long, long as he called thee in vain. Call thee when joy lendeth crown to thy day as he called thee in sorrow and pain. O turn while the Savior in mercy is waiting and steer for the harbour light. For hardly you know, but your soul will be drifting over the deadline tonight. God says, they'll call, but I will not answer. There's no more opportunity. As Proverbs says in chapter 29, he being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. No more opportunity. No more sympathy. God said in verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Oh, God has done so much. I sing a gospel hymn. Maybe before the end of the mission, I'll sing it to you. In a book called The Bible, God gave to us his word. And in so many other ways, his precious voice was heard. The whispering winds, the rippling brooks, soft waters blew. But if you still won't come unto him, then what else can he do? What else can God do that he hasn't done? For just to seek and save us, he gave his only son. To the howling mob he whispers, after all my love for you, if you still won't come unto me, what else can I do? And friend, if the day of grace should run out for you, and then you come, and it's too late, there's no more opportunity, there's no more sympathy. Let me tell you, there's no more prosperity. It says, verse 32, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You see, even King David, Solomon's father, he was perplexed at times. And you read about in Psalm 37 or Psalm 73, and you read how he wondered about the wicked men in this world, how prosperous they were. And he said, there are no bonds in their death, and everything seems to be working well for them. And yet David would say, I am despised, and I have been rejected, and I have known hardship and difficulty. And sometimes God's people going through this life, they're in trouble and they're in difficulty, and things don't seem to be going well, and they look at the world. And we had it for years here during the Troubles. We had evil and ungodly men, murderous men, guilty men, and they seem to get away with it. But there is coming a day when there will be no more prosperity of the fools. The prosperity of the fools will destroy them. And let me tell you, in verse 26, it says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. There will be no more opportunity. There will be no more sympathy. There will be no more prosperity. There will be no more apathy. There will be no more people say, well, I don't care. Doesn't matter to me about the Lord Jesus and his death upon the cross. Doesn't matter to me about the Lord's day. I don't care about church. I don't care about missions. Oh, they have despised the word of God. Verse 30 tells us that, for they would none of my counsel, they despised all of my proof. Verse 29, they deliberately chose, or did not choose, the fear of the Lord. They hated knowledge. They decided not to choose Christ and the gospel. They made that decision. Therefore, in verse 32, they'd be destroyed. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So here's the compassion of the call, and the contents of that call, the calamity of that call. Let me just close by speaking about the consolation of the call. Look at verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell in safety. See, the man or woman who hears the call and who believes the call and who accepts the call and who receives Christ as Savior, thank God, they hearken unto him and there's a heaven for them. They will dwell in safety and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Time and time again in the Word of God, obedience is extolled and exonerated. God says to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. When we preach the gospel, our prayer is this, that men and women may obey the gospel. Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our prayer is that you will come unto him. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We pray tonight you will come to Christ, that you will be saved. The little children's hymn says, see means children, they may come. O means old folk, no more young. M means middle-aged mom and dad. E means everybody, good and bad. I am invited, you are invited. Come to Christ and live. That's the call of the gospel. Come unto me. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you drink this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink the water I give you, you will never thirst again. Whoso hearkeneth unto me. You know, the Apostle Paul put it like this. And Paul was an intellectual. Paul was a man who could speak different languages. And he was a great man of God. He loved the Lord and he served the Lord so well. But you remember, he asked the question, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Friend, what would the end be if you obey not the gospel? You'd be lost, be without Christ, without hope, for time or for eternity. Therefore, we urge you, we press upon you the need, obey the gospel. Do what God says from his word. Turn you at my reproof, God says. Come to Christ. He says, I'll make you, you'll be born again of the Holy Spirit. Because through the preaching of the word, you have obeyed the message. May God bless his word to our hearts. Reverend Salt will bring our meeting to a close.
Let's just unite our hearts together in a wee word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, we do thank thee again tonight for thy presence here. Thank thee for help given in the preaching of thy word. We do thank thee for the opportunity now granted to men and women to close with Christ as he's offered to them in the gospel. And Father, the urgency of their case has been presented. Lord, the reality of a future without Christ has been brought to their attention as well. And yet, Lord, we've seen the consolation of coming to the Lord. They shall dwell safely. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank thee that many of us here are in safety as far as eternity is concerned. But Lord, for those that are not, we ask that even now, they might turn to Thee. Speak on, Lord, if we ask it in Jesus' name.